Brother Young.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Chuck. Hello, everyone. Praise God. So I know we just prayed, but I do want to start with prayer. Why don't we just pray for a second? Father, we thank you. Father, we pray that help our hearts to be completely be vulnerable and be open to you, your presence and your love, and to one another as the body of Christ. Father, we pray that may we shed all these unnecessary burdens that we put on ourselves. Father, help us to simplify our lives in the Lord, to only focus on love, love from you and love for the other people. As we celebrate today, Feast of Christ, as the body of Christ, Father, we pray, may our hearts melt in your presence. Many of us, may there be an encounter of your presence. Father, may some of the old mindset be shattered this morning. May we hear you with the eyes and the ears of the Spirit and to see what you're saying to us. Jesus, receive all the glory and honor. Holy Spirit, fill us. Help us to be bold and compassionate in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I was kind of asked by Pastor Chuck to share on Wednesday that to share a message on Love Feast. I thought it was a love fest at first, but I realized it's a love feast. And, you know, typical mindset of the Christians who grew up at the church. By the way, I'm a fourth-generation Presbyterian, and some of you might know what that is. Presbyterians are cessationists. So we don't believe in gift and the moving of the Holy Spirit. But somehow, my wife and I, you know, encountered the Spirit of God, and we all went in. And I realized that for a long time, we desire to see and be in such a time as this. How many of you are excited? I know there are some His Church family that are here, and some West Ottawa, and some from other part of the church. How many of you are surprised this morning to see all these different faces? Come on, you can do better than that. You know, I was sharing with one of our friends, they were talking about one of the father who's declining in mental health, and he was asking, Young, he has yet to receive Christ, what is going to happen? And Lord kind of gave me a picture of a computer. You know, our soul and our spirit is like a PC. The way we interact with the world is a monitor. So no matter what happens with the monitor, our brain, our physical body, it does not hinder the function of the PC. We may have a hard time communicating or receiving things in the natural, but I have heard, and how many of you heard or saw about a person who might be in comatose or about to die, and he or she is unable to gain consciousness, but suddenly that person gained consciousness and received Christ. I've seen that, I've heard that so many times. What am I talking about? I'm talking about our spirit being alive this morning, and I want us to shift our focus away from, a lot of times, doing things for God from our own strength, and to eat of the world, like a word of God, eat of from Jesus Christ, to gain strength that he provides for us so we can love others according to how he is loving us. So I just want to open up with 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Let us read together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Let's stop there for a second. This is very important for us to understand that love comes from him. And we know that this verse It's not talking about eros or palios, but it's talking about agape. And some of you who don't know what that is, agape love is a love that comes from God, period. We're unable to love others the way he loves us. The only way that we can love others is by yielding to his love that is in us when we become a believer. Amen? That is absolutely true. That's why the world, when they do good things, they do it from their own goodwill, but it's always misaligned from the will of the Father. So let's continue. This is very important. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides or remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So I just want to highlight that there's love of God in us. Yes, when we receive Christ, we become born again as the new creation. And Jesus said in John 15, on that day, my Father and I, and also the Holy Spirit, come and dwell in you. I will make abode. I will abide in you. You will be the habitation. You will be the temple of the Holy Spirit where I dwell. And the struggle that we face all through our Christian lives is first and foremost to believe that. It's not far-fetched according to our doctrine or according to the kingdom knowledge and revelation, because if we believe that we have been born again into new creation, which is crazy, right? This is crazy talk. I said it before, the world and ourselves have never seen our own spirit become born again. We have not. We only believe that because that is written. But from a person who's outside of the Christian culture, they would not believe it. You can only experience the tangible love of Christ. And after entering into relationship with God, you begin to build trust by praying and having relationship, him coming through, and believe based on our trust in him. Some of us are on that journey of trust, and we are frustrated because we don't believe the things that are written in the scripture. Rightly so. Faith is not an absence of information. Faith comes because of God's information, whatever God has downloaded. Whether that comes through experience, you may lack the word, but you suddenly trust certain aspect about kingdom of God. But I know that for many years, church has been saying, just believe. Believe what? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they went through the period of trusting the Lord by seeing God coming through. We need to go through that trust, all of us. Do you believe that? Because without seeing God coming through in your life, what are you believing things on? You're hoping for something, but that's not faith. Hope is not faith. Amen? So isn't this interesting that it says this, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let me unpack that for us. If we really believe that we love God, the tangible evidence, and we should not be deceived, is by ourselves seeing how we love other person from our heart. If we catch ourselves not loving, but hating, in bitterness towards somebody else, we need to examine our heart again. Let me repeat this. The cold, factual evidence of our love for God is reflected on how we interact with other people. And as we do that, the love of Christ that is in us becomes perfect. What does that mean? Our love for God cannot fully mature without us interacting with other people. Other people in our lives, especially those people who's giving us a hard time, are the one that is training us to go before God, ask for grace, ask for mercy, ask for strength, so we can love the other person. Without people around us, we will self-deceive. We will delude ourselves, thinking that I love you, God, only you and I. I hate all these people, but somehow I love you. What does the Lord say? No, 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 young. No, son, wake up. Be sober. The way you interact with your son and your daughter and your wife is the evidence on how much you love me. Oh Lord, anything but these people. They know my weakness. They know how to press the trigger. I'm not saying my family isn't like that. I love them so much. But how many of you confess that there are people in your life that they will say something? If anyone else say the exact same thing, it doesn't bother you too much. But that person, when that person says something, it kind of, oh my God, I need mercy for me to overcome all these things. You know, one day my mother-in-law, like my wife's mom, I was sharing something, and there's this incredible woman of God. That was her, my wife's friend. But somehow she always find a way to say opposite of whatever I was always saying in the meeting. And I was always, always grieved by how she was interacting with me. No matter what it is, she would say, oh, but. You know how many of you have that person in your life, right? And I was complaining to my mother-in-law, I can't stand this person. I wish she would go away. I wish she would just go away, move somewhere else, anything but here. Please, God. And she was looking at me, and she said, Young, do you know this? I said, what? What do I know? What am I missing? And she said, Young, do you know that God uses people often as an instrument of righteousness, as a whacking stick, to guide you onto the right path? Because it's not about her, but it's about you. Something in you needs healing. Something in her triggers whatever that is inside of you without you understanding. So I want you to go before God and start praying for her. Start praying for her. Why did Jesus say, love your enemy and pray for your enemy? Did you know in Didache, some of you know Didache is. Didache is a kind of like discipleship book that was created by apparently the first apostles. It is a book on how to walk as a Christian. So first apostles created this book for discipleship, and it's called Didache. In Didache, it says not only pray for your enemies, but fast for your enemies. Isn't that crazy? Like, God is literally telling us, Young, not only you need to pray, you also need to fast. What? I don't even fast for me. You want me to fast for my enemy? I believe the Lord is saying yes. Absolutely. This is very important. The love of Christ is so powerful that he forgave me. And he certainly is powerful enough to forgive other people that are around me. And I hope we have sovereign mindset to see this as a measuring stick. Not to condemn ourselves, but to go before God again, asking him for strength, asking him for grace. I said this before, every time we feel that we are short, we should not condemn ourselves, because we can only do one thing at a time, right? Either we walk in flesh or walk in the spirit. Every time we think that we're walking in the spirit, what do we need to do? Change our mindset, not our thinking only, but our heart posture, everything that is aligned, and shift that alignment back onto the Lord. That is the secret. I know that some people right now, I can see some of you, I don't know who you are every time you fail, you try to fight whatever that brought you into failure, whatever that might be, addiction or whatever that might be, hatred. That is wasting our time. The greatest fight is to shift our focus back onto the Lord. The reason that we fail is because we shifted our focus away from God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. And we put all that on ourselves, and we failed as a result. Let me repeat this. The greatest secret to live a life that is filled with love, to live a life that is led by the Spirit, is no matter what happened, even if you fail 100 times today, continue to shift your focus back onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So let us continue on from this. What is a love feast? The love feast is more than just a meal. It is celebration of feasting on Jesus, his word, his presence, and his spirit. In John 6, Jesus said this, "I am the bread that came out of heaven." And he said this at the end, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will remain or abide or stay in me." Let me repeat that. In John 6, Jesus said, "My flesh is the bread that came down out of heaven, and my blood is the drink. And if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will remain or abide in me, and you will have eternal life." Simply, flesh is a provision from the heaven, and blood represents new covenant, not the old, new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. So we know that we just read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, right? Your love is perfected. How do I do that? Well, in John 3, chapter 16 through 18, it says this. Let's read together. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." So in John 4, it talks about your love for your brother or sister perfects that love in you. And in John 3, it actually talks about, yes, don't just say, "I bless you." Help your brother and sister tangibly. Tangibly. We often see somebody else in need, but because we have a greater need, it seems that we fail to help other people. But what if God said, "I so love you, world. I bless you. Look at my son from the outside." Did he send his son to actually die on our behalf? Right? He didn't just say, "I will send my son," and period. He didn't just say, "My intention is to send my son," but he actually sent his only begotten son. Some of us, there's a disconnect. We only say, "Oh, bless you, brother." Let's say there's a guy that's sitting in the corner of downtown. Some of you went on street ministry, right? We do that often downtown, right? Maybe coming season, we could go to Tanger Mall or Bayshore, right, around this neighborhood. But we see somebody on the street. And we see that person during minus 20, only with T-shirt. And we tell that person, "God loves you. Let's pray for you. I'm going to pray that you can endure this winter nights, that you'll be able to survive tonight with that T-shirt and do all that." But what we're lacking is that we're lacking to take the next step. It requires sacrifice. It requires grace of God for us to say, "Lord, I know this, that you have spoken to me. You have highlighted this person to me. And I only have $50 in my bank right now. And I need this money for me to eat. But I have this strong sense of conviction in my spirit to go to that corner and buy the jacket and give it to this person." Get behind me, Satan. I don't think that's you. So many of us are so used to ignoring anything that requires sacrifice. We really do. That is a flesh. Flesh, I'm not saying do that with everything. I'm saying if the Lord speaks to you, he will provide. But often the provision is in your hand already. We're waiting for extra provision of God. We're waiting for something that is extra to come. "Lord, $50 more, please. Lord, $100 more, please. Lord, if I earn six figure, then I'll do this, Lord. If I have extra card, then I'll do that." We do that. Come on. How many of you agree with me? Come on. I've done it. "Lord, if I had that, I'll do it. If I had this, I'll do it." Right? How many of you like to tell God, "God, why is there delay?" Do you like delay from God? But so many of us delay when we are the answer. So that's what John is saying. John is saying the actual help is not only in speaking blessing to that person, but actually helping that person. And often, It requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. Bible never follow up with the widow who only gave 2 mites. Remember that story? She gave 2 mites, all she had, and the rich rulers gave like crazy amount. Maybe there were some of them who were giving $1 million. Who knows, right? But Jesus only focused on her, and she was giving very last cent, 2 mites. I was trying to find, but there's no follow-up story saying, well, God blessed her with like 10 talents, enough for half a year. We don't see that. That is sacrifice. That is one of the examples of sacrifice. That is what we're called to. World is crying out for us to stand up into the last days. They're crying out, well, where is love? What is love? We desire love. We want love. We have that. Do you believe that we have the greatest love, the love that the world is crying out for? They fall for counterfeit because we're not sharing. Many of us are sharing, but some of us have yet to understand what that is. And I'm still growing in that. I gotta admit, I'm still growing in that. But before we find out, let's go deeper into what is love. Oh, somebody already went. Okay, what is love? So what is love? I want to hear some of you. You may sit down or stand up and shout. What do you think the love is? 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13. What is that? Yeah, yeah, that's it. Anyone else? Amen.
John 15:13.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Why don't you recite that?
There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life.
That's right. Amen. Anyone else? No, never mind Bible scripture. What do you think love is? Let's go even more broader. What do you think it is?
Sacrifice.
Amen. That?
Sacrifice.
Yeah, sacrifice?
Put others first.
Put others first, yes? Amen. Put others before you, right?
Give them your best coat.
That's right. Best coat. Anyone else?
Action.
Yeah, making time. Time. All those things are amazing. Yes. Yes, you get it. Amen. I agree with you guys. Absolutely. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. I want to share with you something. It is okay for you to say something. Okay, I'm not offended. Okay? It's okay to have interaction. I know it's kind of weird, but I want to encourage you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Thank you. So I know there's more, but I wrote this down. Love is a word of encouragement, an act of kindness, the sharing of our resources, the laying down of our lives for others. But it all comes from, all flowing from our innermost being, from the place of God's agape love. So Bob mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Some of you might want to glean that if you don't know what that is. It says this: if you speak the word of angels, if you have the faith to move the mountains, if you give all your wealth away, if you burn yourself for the other people, that sounds like love, right? That looks like love. But the Bible said, but without agape love, it profits you nothing. And it continue on, right? Love is, what is that? Why did God say that? It's speaking to us, though. It's speaking to us who's been born again into the kingdom. What it's saying is this: you being motivated by your own will, by your own strength, by your own capacity to love other people, in the greater scheme of the kingdom, it is nothing. It is nothing more than self-righteousness. But you who have been given the Spirit of God in you, if you yield to my Spirit and allow my Spirit to love others through you, there is a great reward in the kingdom for you. Amen? In a kingdom, God gives us even that very love for us to allow and love other people. But for that to happen, we have to have intimate relationship with God. Just like a little child mimicking the father and the mother as they grow up, God is calling us to the exact same thing. It's not about the works of a man. It is about the works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, if Jesus only said what Father was saying and only doing what Father was doing, and we are called to be the continuation of his work as the body of Christ, we should never get out of that grace boundary of saying what Father is saying and doing what Father is doing. We can only do that if we spend time with God. Amen? So let's go over to the practical aspect of helping other people. So all these have to come from a place of intimacy with the Lord one-on-one. So I just want to highlight some practical things. How do we love? How do we do that? Now you lay down some ground, young. I'm afraid to take the step because I'm afraid to make a mistake. No, we will make mistakes. That is okay. Remember I said continuously go back to the Lord no matter what happens, right? The first thing of how do we love is to discern the need. We need to discern the need. When God highlights someone in need, seek his direction and wisdom and ask how he wants to help. Remember I said he. So how God wants to use you to help that individual. Right? First one is discern the need. Second, can we get a next slide, please? Second is move from intention to action. Let his love within you move beyond more thoughts, mere thoughts or words. Pray for compassion. Pause. Praying for compassion. So many of us operate, even in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, out of obligation, out of duty. But we need to be moved by compassion. Never mind whether the other person has a faith or not. That is not important. Because the guy who had a lame issue, the faith of a friend, Jesus said, you are healed because of your friend's faith. So okay, we overemphasize the faith. Love is the key because faith works through love. So we need to always make sure that our hearts are filled with his compassion. Amen? Compassion. Compassion. And take concrete, practical action empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay. How many of you are with me? Amen. All right, third. Serve with humility and respect. Help others quietly, preserving their dignity and without seeking recognition. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I know from Genesis all the way through Revelation, God often records on people giving to the work of God, offering. He records their name, the amounts. He does that. But when it comes down to helping those that are in need, person, one-on-one, it's not really listed. Because God wants to preserve their dignity. Amen? So when we are helping the other person, we want to see them as a person, not as a project, not as a number, but a person. So that is very important. Sometimes we need to rally the church to help more people. Yes. So we need to do that. I agree. If it's a bigger project, right? Community housing or anything like that. Yes. But when you're helping the other person one-on-one, make sure we keep their dignity. Amen? Okay. Last one. This is very important. Who do we love? Obviously, the first one is Father God. And I talked about this before. How do we love God? Who has everything? We love God by individually receiving his love. We had a good starting point. When we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we actually received his love. We love God by receiving his love. Amen? So number one, family and close relationship. Immediate family, friends, neighbors, and our spiritual family, those God has placed in our lives for care, encouragement, and guidance, and share faith. I thought about, should I separate immediate family and a spiritual family and all those that are close to me? But I remember what Jesus said. Remember his mom and his friends, his siblings were coming to get Jesus because they were afraid that he's saying some crazy things like, this guy, what's happening to Jesus? And he said, you are my mother, you are my brother. Remember that? In a kingdom, we are physically a descendant of Adam and Eve. We're all brothers and sisters already. Spiritually, we are a new creation. Jesus, the last Adam. We also became spiritually close family and friends. But the problem with the family of God is that we don't know how to love one another. We just don't know. We get offended and we leave. Do we do that with our earthly family? We don't. But somehow, we make an exception with spiritual family. And we don't even treat one another like close friends. And I believe that Lord wants to shift that away from our mindset. I believe that, I mean, West Ottawa has been doing great things. I mean, one of the policies that Pastor Chuck talks about, we have door that is always open. Whoever wants to leave for a season, they could leave. We won't hold them back. If they want to come back, we'll welcome them again. I share with my wife and others often, you know, that relationship that we have on the earth, they're always seasonal. Some people we have maybe 6 months with them. Some people is 6 years. Some people is 60 years. But it's all seasonal, depending on what the Lord is doing in your lives. It is very hard for us if we are called to leave a local family of church because the grace of God may have left, because you need to transition into the new area or new season of your life. You may detach from your spiritual family that you have cultivated relationship for a season. It's very hard for an individual to discern properly and maintain a loving relationship as they transition out. Often, we try to detach forcefully, or we allow the lie of the enemy to seep into our heart to create this bitterness. And often the Christians do not leave their spiritual family properly. But I believe that we will mature by remembering it's all about relationship. Amen. It's not even about the vision or the task. Okay. Okay. Second, the marginalized, the vulnerable, strangers, the poor, sick, lonely, oppressed. Anyone in society often that we overlook, or including people we don't know personally. So God has given us capacity. He will entrust us with more if we really honor close relationship in our families. Third, opposition. Enemies that are in our lives. You know, the greatest challenge that I had was in hopes to bring my brother. I have a younger brother. He's way taller. He's way more rich and more popular. And he's still having incredible, you know, executive jobs and lives in U.S. And I had a hard time growing up. He's a younger brother, too. But one thing that I recognized was, despite all that, he really was lonely. He really was looking for purpose. And I have been praying for many, many, many years after encountering the Holy Spirit. At one time, until I really surrendered my life to God, I thought he was my enemy. Really, sometimes your sibling, it can feel like, if you're not in good relationship, feels like they're the worst enemy, because they know all your weakness. They know your history. They use that against you. And after I got, you know, immersed in the Spirit of God, I've been praying all the time. And one day, I think maybe 10 plus years of spiritually walking with the Lord, he came to our house church. And God used that opportunity to baptize him in his Spirit and set him free. And it was the greatest, greatest miracle that I have seen in my life personally. Because I never thought that he would ever, ever surrender his life to the Lord. I mean, there were struggles and challenges after that, but I never thought that was possible. And God completely shattered my expectation. And I believe if he can be saved, then all the issues that you have with certain individuals, I believe that God will also bring them to the kingdom. But it doesn't depend on our prayer. For us to guard our heart, it depends on our love for that person. Amen? Okay, last one. Some of you know this already. God's creation. What is that? Okay, let's have some interaction. What is that? Tell me what that is. Yes? Let's be more specific. Come on. Yes, cats and dogs. Yes. Environment, right? The nature. I know they're like a huge pushback against some Christians saying, well, the world will end and anyway, so we might as do whatever we want. It's going to all come and crash and burn. I know that current heaven and hell is temporary. It might be shocking to you guys. Current heaven is temporary, right? And current hell, even that is temporary. But God desires for us to be the good steward. We have the mindset and love and capacity to accelerate the technology or whatever that is needed for us to clean the earth. Even if Jesus comes tomorrow, there's this saying, some of you know this, we will still plant an apple tree today. Remember that one, right? Even if he comes tomorrow, God is calling us to love and steward that is on the earth. Do you believe that? So do you believe that love is the greatest thing that he has given us? Amen. The greatest weapon of the enemy is what? Fear, right? Fear, greatest weapon. It's a spirit of fear. Let me give you a little bit of insight. Enemy not only attacks our mind through thoughts, enemy also attacks. Secondary weapon, what is that? Emotion. He can insert emotion in you. Did you know that? Some of you don't know this. He actually can influence your emotion. He can insert fear, spirit of fear in you. Lust, all these different things in you. He can. He has done it countless times. Some of us only guard our mindset, but make sure that we wash our heart, our emotion with love. Because perfect love, amen. Let me say this again. Perfect love, amen. And Jesus is what? Prince of what? Amen. Why would he do that if enemy does not come with the spirit of fear and all the other demonic spirit to attack us? Amen. Love is the greatest weapon for God. Let me repeat this. The fear is the greatest weapon from the enemy. Love is the greatest weapon from God. What is our greatest weapon? Amen. Amen. Our greatest weapon is free will. We can either choose or not to choose. We can either choose to receive that love or not to choose to receive that love. We can choose not to receive that fear or choose to receive that fear. We can't even choose to not to receive Jesus as a Lord and Savior. So our greatest weapon is free will. I just want to encourage all of us, as we will probably transition into the, do we still use that term, potluck? Yeah, love feast. There you go. Let's just remember that is manifestation of what we're called to do. We're called to feast on Jesus. Feast on his word. Feast on his spirit. Feast on the blood of Christ to remember that we are under new covenant, not the old. As we continue to consume the flesh and blood of Christ on a daily basis, his love will fill our hearts. I don't know about you guys. I need daily assurance It'll be nice to receive that from my wife, but she may not say it every single time because we're human. And I should not demand that from her. It'll be good if she does it. But that need, that daily assurance, daily affirmation, daily blessing comes from God. It's already flowing out of him. It's already flowing out of his throne room. It's already filling our spirit. Why don't we just take advantage of that? So I said, today's potluck is more than a meal. It is a tangible reminder that love is meant to be shared, practiced, and lived. Let us serve humbly and share generosity, and letting Christ's love flow through your words, action in every encounter with others. Love is the ultimate blessing of God. Any desire for us to feast on that today? Amen? Why don't we pray together? Father, we thank you for your love. Some of you want to stand up and you might want to really make that something like a fork on a road for you today, that remind yourself. I just want to say before I pray that some of you think, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to make disciples of the nations, I have to do all these things. Did you know before great commandment of go and make disciples of the nation, Jesus said in John 15, before the great commission, there's a great commandment. Abide in my love. Let me repeat this. Before there's a great commission of go and make disciples of the nations, there's a great commandment that came from Christ himself. Abide, dwell, remain in my love, and love one others as I loved you. Some of us, we need to detox because we are so inundated with wanting to do things for God, wanting to do good for God, wanting to live right for God, that we forgot. All those flow out of as a byproduct. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and a peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit of love and fruit of the Spirit. It is a byproduct. It's not a goal. Let me repeat this. It is a byproduct of our time with the Lord. When we abide in Jesus, those things will happen through him. He will provide. He said, abide in me and I in you. We don't work to bear the fruit. We discipline to spend time with God in meditation, in contemplation, in prayer. Some of you, you don't need to do more for God. You don't need to go on a more street ministry. Who are you leading them to? Are you leading them to some, like a conceptual Christian? Are you leading them into the lifestyle that you have already? God is calling some of us to get back to the basics by cultivating this lifestyle of spending time with the Lord. And from that place, we introduce other people into that very lifestyle that we have. That is discipleship. It's more than just learning about the Word of God. It's living it out. So you don't have to stand, but in your heart, I want to encourage you to shift your mindset. Move away from all these vision and a mission and a work for God. Get back to the intimacy that God didn't pay for the movement. He paid for an individual come to the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Father, we pray, may we never ever leave this place of sitting at the foot of the Christ, receiving your embrace, being immersed in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having incredible relationship with you, so that we would know in our heart who we are as your sons and daughters of God. That no matter what the enemy throws at us, whether that is popularity, whether that is finance or wealth, or whether that is influence, we would not be swayed. We will continue this incredible journey of growing in intimacy with you. And when you say in our time of intimacy, go and speak this to that person, we will go because you have spoken. Therefore, we have faith. Therefore, we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Father, none of us are superheroes. Our calling and our purpose and gifts and grace and faith, even according to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, is given to you for your purpose. And our assignment within the body of Christ, whether we are eyes or finger, is assigned by you, not by ourselves. Father, we thank you. Help us continue to feed on Jesus' flesh. And as we consume this incredible food that has been brought forward, let us be reminded again to feed our spirit by your flesh and your blood. Father, we shatter any ungodly thoughts of religious ideas. Father, we destroy right now any spiritual aspect of our lives that has been established by spirit of religion. We command it to be shattered in Jesus' name. Anything that tries to complicate things, that's too easy, that is too simple. Father, you make it so simple, even little children can understand you. Father, some of us, I see some of us need a Sabbath, as in that you need to recharge in His Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some of you are over-spiritualizing things right now. Some of you are over-spiritualizing things. I can sense there's over-spiritualization. What do I mean by that? You neglect the natural things. Let me give a quick example. If you have blood pressure because you are eating too much salt, you could pray and receive healing, but God is encouraging you to stop eating too much salt. That's what I mean by over-spiritualizing. That there's a principle that God has put on the earth that we also need to abide by before we receive the glorified body. If you need to exercise, if you need to apply wisdom in certain area, I believe the Lord is saying yes. If you need to take some medication for a season, because God has given human being a wisdom to create that, if it does not harm your body, I say yes. I believe the Lord is saying yes to that. There's some of you that think and try to separate. You're Gnostic. No, spirit, soul, and body, they are all holy unto the Lord. He's calling us to worship spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth means that we worship God with all of our being, our spirit, soul, and body. That's what the spirit and in truth means. And the truth, another way, is to renewing our mindset by the Word of God. Some of you need that. You don't have any deep understanding of the Word of God, and you continuously fail into hyper-charismatic, hyper-spiritual, because you don't have understanding of the Word of God, and you negate that Word of God because you think spending more time in prayer in tongue, which is very important, is the only thing that you need. I want to encourage you, that person. I want to encourage you, eat the Word of God. Eat the Word of God daily. Eat the Word of God. Yes, pray in the Spirit continuously, yes, but eat the Word of God. There's a person that's praying for healing of their soul or their emotion or their soul, their heart. God does sometimes, let me repeat this, He does sometimes take away that in His presence, in His Spirit. But more often, you need a ministry. You need Christian counseling. Let me repeat this. He does heal you, but that's not a default. He doesn't do that only. He uses other people. You may need to go counseling, Christian counseling. You may need other people to do that. Father, we desire to break away on overemphasis on the knowledge or overemphasis on a spiritual insight. Lord, we declare that without your word, how do we discern the spirit? Some of us, our spiritual eyes are so wide open and we're so excited to hear anything that is of the spirit that we fail to check with the scripture to see whether that is from you or not. Some of us are so overwhelmed by our emotional response to any spiritual activity that we always assume that is the Spirit of God, and we fall into great error. Father, we repent for making ourselves the center of our universe. Lord, we repent for making ourselves center of our universe. Father, discerning of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit Himself. And the Holy Spirit reminds us what Father and Jesus has said in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, may we enter into the fullness of honoring the Word of God and honoring the Spirit of God. May we be that generation that honors the Word of God, that meditates on the Word of God, that eat and chewed on the Word of God like a cud. We shall not eat of it quickly, but we shall devour it. We shall savor it. We shall enjoy the Word of God. And at the same time, we shall love the Spirit of God. We shall love the presence of God. We shall love the glory of God. Father, we will walk in both the Word and the Spirit. We will walk both in the Word and the Spirit. We shall destroy the works of the enemy. By the truth in love, it requires both. It requires the truth. It requires the spirit of love that is in us. No more, Lord. No more fear of going extreme on either side, because we have both. No more holding on to word only, because I don't want to get into that crazy charismatic things. We rebuke that spirit of religion in Jesus' name. And no more word of God. It goes against my revelation. My revelation somehow is greater than the written word of God. It's not written, but I received this. It's not written, but. In Jesus' name. That is also spirit of religion. Father, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love right now. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your love right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, help us to spend more time in Christ. Help us to spend more time instead of spending time trying to correct ourselves. Try to spend more time in that place with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Break every chain. Break every bondage. Break every mindset. Shatter our will, Lord. Reestablish it, Lord. Father, we declare that Jesus is not only our Savior, but He is our Lord. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, where are you going? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you are Lord. And He shall have dominion in our lives. He shall have dominion in our lives. Every religious spirit of every form shall be broken in Jesus' name. Every religious spirit of every form shall be broken in Jesus' name. And the greatest weapon of the religious spirit is to obey by His Spirit. Once we obey the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, the religious spirit, the mindset that opposes God, shall be broken. As written in 1 Corinthians. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Come on, give Him praise. Thank you, God. Amen. 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 Some of you may stay where you are to continue to receive ministry from the Holy Spirit. Some of you might want to get out of your seat, want to come up in a posture that you are led by the Spirit. Do as the Spirit leads. Let us enter into time of worship right now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you.